Psalm 92. The psalmist takes delight in thanking God for the way he acts in history, including the way that God has made the psalmist prevail over his enemies. People who lack wisdom are impressed by the fact that the godless people are seen to flourish. The psalmist knows that they'll finally be destroyed, for, as he concludes, there is no unrighteousness, no lack of justice in Yahweh. So, let's begin. How good it is to give thanks to Yahweh, to make music in your honor, O Most High, to proclaim your kindness in the morning and in the night, your faithfulness. The two famous words, chesed emet, all the way through the Bible. Chesed, steadfast love or kindness, and emet is fidelity, faithfulness. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the plucking of the lyre, your deeds, Yahweh, have made me glad. At the work of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, Yahweh, are your deeds. Your thoughts are very deep. So it's obviously a musical thing, and he's inviting everyone to a great celebration of all this love. The foolish, he says in verse 6, cannot know. The stupid cannot understand this. Stupid in English is not a bad word. You know the other word, stupor? They're the same word. A stupid person is someone living in a stupor. Not connected, not real, not in touch with what the heck's going on. But, and if you're in a culture that aims to create stupor by television, is sometimes brilliant, but most of it is to create stupor, and a general advertising world that is to create stupor, because if you weren't in a stupor, you wouldn't buy anything, because you don't actually need it, or you'd buy very few things. So our culture is very much based on creating stupor, keeping the public. Truth doesn't matter as much in the market square as it maybe did once, I think, because you do want people to vote for you. So if you can create a stupor that gets the idea that it's okay, you'll do it. So all of this, we're living in a pretty unhealthy world, really, from this point of view. But it does create stupid people. And we're could easily be included among them, so it's a danger. Here's Deuteronomy. I feared provocation by the enemy, for their adversaries might misunderstand and say, our hand is triumphant. It was not Yahweh who did all this. They are a nation void of sense. There's no understanding in them. If they were wise, they would understand this. They would discern what the end would be. They'd see where they were heading, where life was taking them. Hosea, those who are wise understand these things. Those who are discerning know them. For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. And Micah chapter 4, they do not know the thoughts of Yahweh. They do not understand Yahweh's plan, that he's gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. And no one better than Jesus. Matthew 11, this is next Feast of the Sacred Heart this year, the reading the Gospel. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the inverted commas wise and inverted commas intelligent, people who think they're like that anyhow. You've revealed them to infants, a perfect translation of the Hebrew, meaning someone who's not yet spoken. That's what an infant is, technically, a baby who's not yet speaking. Nepios, I think, is the Greek. And the book of Revelation, chapter 15, great and amazing are your deeds, Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Now Psalm 92 verse 7 goes on, though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are forever doomed to destruction. You, Yahweh, are forever on high. They could see that evil doesn't get you anywhere. Your enemies, Yahweh, your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered, but you've exalted my horn. Horn is an image of strength, and also the victory horn that blows out after a military success. You've exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil, the anointing symbol of the Spirit, you know, and all that chrism anointing. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my assailants. And I've just noted there for you, as you read it, the different levels you can read the Psalms on. Peter, in his letter, reminds us that not all our enemies are outside. Well, we don't need to be said that, but in fact the greatest enemies are within. He speaks of the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. It's the inner journey that's the main one, isn't it? Because if you've got all these enemies outside you, they can't actually harm you. They can hurt you, but they can't harm you. Whereas the inner demons and the inner urges can destroy us if we're not alert to them. And that's what happens in most people's lives, isn't it? My own included. We've got to be so careful to... You know, you meet people who are blaming everybody else. And they're going to get it. When you're talking with them, your aim is to try to get them to see, wait, is there anything in this that you could do? Is there anything you could learn from this? And that's the last thing people want to hear, because they want to blame somebody out there for it. And it's tragic and dreadful and violent and destructive. And, well, Peter says it there. So my eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. Have a look inside and before you pray it. My ears have heard of the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of Yahweh. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They're always green and full of sap. So think of those beautiful old people that you meet. It's lovely, isn't it, when you go to an old person's home, and it might be your own mother or could be someone really close to you, and they talk about it. Oh, the dear old people here. They never see, and they can be 10 years older than the old people around them, but it doesn't occur to them that they're old because they're still alert, I suppose, and reasonably healthy or something, and they see the poor old thing, they say to someone 10 years younger than them. It's lovely, really. So, showing, though, that they're always green, full of sap. And the last words of the psalm, showing that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Yahweh. A beautifully true statement. So I'll conclude reading the book of Wisdom, verse 12, chapter 12. The book of Wisdom is the last book of the Old Testament scriptures in time. It's probably written just before the time of Jesus, maybe even contemporary with Jesus' life in Alexandria, where the Jewish community, of course, wrote in Greek and thought in Greek and spoke Greek. And here's this book, which Paul's quite aware of. So chapter 12 says, who will say, what have you done? Who will resist your judgment, God? Who will accuse you for the destruction of nations that you made? Who will come before you to plead as an advocate for the unrighteous? For neither is there any God besides you, whose care is for all people, to whom you should prove that you have not judged unjustly. You don't have to prove yourself, God, because no unrighteousness is found in you.